Green light or orange light? Does that mean? Okay. We'll stick it in here. I think it'll be alright. Okay, so I think y'all know what we're going to be talking about. They mentioned it a lot. We're going to be talking about loneliness this evening. And looking forward to it, because not only is this something that I know pertains to all of us here, it's something that I've struggled with, you know, just like all of you have. And it's near and dear to my heart. It's something that my family has gone through recently, and my reason for wanting to speak to you about this is just because I have experienced this kind of thing recently, and would like to share what I've learned and what I'm learning, what I'm in the process of learning. So, I hope y'all get as much out of it as I have. Loneliness. First thing I learned coming to Auburn was that living on your own isn't really all it's cracked up to be when you're, you know, at home in high school wanting to leave. You have to cook for yourself. Kind of a drag. Or eat Taco Bell. That's what I did the first year. You have to pay bills. You have to clean the house. Both pains. Until I moved down here, I kind of thought my clothes just magically got clean and hung themselves off in my closet, but figured out that I have to do that too. Wash my own clothes. It's quite an adjustment. Well, and once you get used to all of that, you start noticing some other problems and issues that creep up being by yourself. You got new friends, great friends. I've met mostly all of you. I love you all to death. But at first, we're not close. You know, if a new person comes here, it's intimidating. So you're in a new place, you have new friends, nobody really close, nobody to call a companion. You miss out on what's going on at home. I miss my friends. I still do sometimes. The church back home that I went to, I miss out on a lot of what goes on there. And though my family keeps me up to date, sometimes there's quite a delay in, because, you know, phone conversations, you can't always remember what all happened the week before. And I'll find out that somebody got baptized like 2 weeks later, and while that's great, you know, no matter what time you figure it out, it's still missing something when I'm not there to experience it myself. And something for me personally, I have a younger sibling, and I know a lot of y'all do too, and I've missed out on a lot on these past year and month or so of my sister's growing up. She's 16 years old now in high school and struggling in places and shining just like I knew she would in other places. And it's hard for me to miss that sometimes. I miss it, and it's sad. But, I mean, you know, that's just part of life, right? My dad has to work in Tennessee now. That happened about, I guess, a year ago now. He worked with AT&T for 26 years or so, and when AT&T bought him out, you know, he lost a job. So he had to go up to Tennessee and work for 4 or 5 days out of the week. And of course, that was hard on him. That was the first year I was gone, and I didn't notice as much. But I would talk to my dad on the phone, and though he would never quite say that he was feeling lonely or he was missing home, I knew that he was. Our phone conversations, we'd share all of our triumphs of the day and some of our hardest problems. And that to me was, and to him too, is the hardest problem, the hardest thing for me about being alone down here in regards to your family. There's no one, when you do something great, when you get a good grade on a test or when you excel in a sport or something or other, there's no family to come home and tell how your day went. And that was hard for me at first, but I'm adjusting, and as I'm sure all of us are too. Loneliness creeps into college life, that's no secret. How do we deal with it? Loneliness is a state of being alone, or the pain caused by the desire for companionship. And just as a disclaimer, right now we're not talking about the boy-girl romantic relationship. It's a whole nother lesson entirely. This is just about friendship and family and our brotherhood as Christians. Paul. Paul was a man that experienced loneliness beyond, you know, anything that I've ever experienced down here. And he writes about it in some of his letters. If you would turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4. Starting in verse 16 and reading on to 18. I will read this first one, but I would like to have other people read if y'all don't mind. And I'll just call on you to save the time of the volunteering process. Verse 16, at my first defense, no one supported me, but all deserted me. May it not be counted against them. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, in order that through me the proclamation might be fully accomplished, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the lion's mouth. The Lord will deliver me from every evil deed, and will bring me safely to His heavenly kingdom. To Him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Something else that can alienate us from the world and even from our friends is taking a stand in what we believe in. Something that that Larry's sermons have dealt with a lot. The specifics of what we believe and how we are to defend ourselves. And as I'm sure y'all have all... As I'm sure y'all have all experienced, there are times when we have to take up for what we believe in. And if you're lucky, you'll have friends who have hearts that are willing to listen, but sometimes you don't. Sometimes your friends are not ready to hear the things that you have to say. Sometimes they have grown up in under other doctrines, just like they've grown up just like we have, being taught the same thing their whole lives, and they just have a hard time looking away from that. And sometimes people just don't want to stare into the face of God. And that can be a huge divider between friends who have experienced so many things, friends who have grown up together, and some of the occasions in my life, friends who have grown up together, there comes a time where you have to take a stand for what you believe in, and the friendship cuts off and dies. That's part of life. That's part of the war that we fight in this world, and that's something that Paul has experienced right here. The most popular and easiest way to find friends around here is the party scene. You know, you see everybody. I go into my classes, and it seems like I'm the only one that doesn't really know anybody in my classes. And that's kind of, you know, they all, of course, there are always exceptions, but you know, they meet each other in bars and parties and everything like that. And we don't partake in that. And we lose an opportunity to have the friends that the amount of friends, I should say, that a lot of other people have. And that can be discouraging when you're sitting in class and everybody else is talking to their friends and you're the only one there. I know. And but again, that's, and you know, common theme in all this is it's part of life. This loneliness feeling is part of life. This is what we have to go through. It's part of being in the world. It's part of being apart from the world as we are as Christians. David, in Psalm 142, describes his loneliness in a way that really hit home for me. I'd like to read that. And I'm actually going to read this one too, just because I like this passage so much. But I promise those of you who are itching to read, I will get to you. Psalm 142, and I'm only going to read verse 1 through 4 for now, and I'll read the rest later. It's a masculine of David. This is one of the headings at the top of the chapter. It's a masculine of David when he was in the cave. It's a prayer. I cry aloud with my voice to the Lord. I make supplication with my voice to the Lord. I pour out my complaint before Him. I declare my trouble before Him. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, Thou didst know my path. In the way where I walk, they have hidden a trap for me. Look to the right and see, for there is no one who regards me. There is no escape for me. No one cares for my soul. Verse 4, no one cares for my soul. That to me, something about that phrasing, and y'all may have other ways of phrasing that in your translations, but something about that, I don't know if it was because it was more modern language or something, but that hit home with me so hard. And that's really what prompted me to study this at first. I just happened to be looking for a looking through the scriptures for a 5-minute talk back home, and I found this and prompted a whole world of thoughts that I'm doing my best to communicate right now. Job was another person who really experienced some isolation and humiliation in his life. If you would turn to Job chapter 29. Job chapter 29. If you remember the story of Job, he was, to put it lightly, extremely wealthy. Not only in physical means, but he had a great family. It says at the beginning of Job that he was a righteous man and was spiritually wealthy as well. Let's read chapter 29, verses 4 through 12. Tyler, could you read 4 through 12 for me, please?
Just as I was in the days of my prime, when the friendly counsel of God was over my tent, and the Almighty was yet with me, and my children were around me, and my steps were bathed with cream, and the rock poured out rivers of oil for me. When I went out to the gate by the city, and I took my seat in the open square, the young men saw me and hid, and the aged arose and stood. Princes refrained from talking and put their hand on their mouth. The voice of nobles was hushed, and their tongues stuck to the roof of their mouth. When the ear heard, then it blessed me. And when the eye saw, then it approved me, because I delivered the poor who cried out, the fatherless, and the one who had no help.
Thank you, Tyler. And in chapter 30, I'll read these next two. Starting in verse 10 and 11. They abhor me and stand aloof from me, and they do not refrain from spitting at my face, because he has loosed his bowstring and afflicted me. They have cast off the bridle before me. And in verse 26 of the same chapter. When I expected good, then evil came. When I waited for light, then darkness came. I am seething within and cannot relax. Days of affliction confront me. I go about mourning without comfort. I stand up in the assembly and cry out for help. There are events in our life that can take us from one extreme to the next in regards to our security, emotional and physical. Job is the prime example of that. And what I'm trying to say with that is you don't know when you're going to be forced into a situation, and your life is going to change quickly, and you need to be ready. You need to be ready to fend off the feelings of emptiness and loneliness that can come with the harsh events that the world can bring. We're going to get to that later. Like I said, moving to college could be one of those for you. Just life changing. My dad's job changed. Life changing events that can really change your perspective and change your security, emotionally and physically. Loneliness affects every aspect of life. Ecclesiastes 4. Mark, could you read 4 verses 9 and 10, please?
Two are better than one, because they have a good return for the work. If one falls down, his friend can help him up. But pity the man who falls and has no one to help him up.
Let me put it this way. We can really underestimate, and I'm most guilty of this, we can easily underestimate the importance of a single friend. High five and hey, how you doing, friend? I'm talking about a confidant, a companion, like Jonathan and David. That was the best example I could think of. Jonathan and David. The expression in some of the passages referring to Jonathan and David, and some of the few of David's love for Jonathan and Jonathan's love for David. Plato, y'all know he is some philosopher from way back when. He made the observation that the ties between the ties between two men or two women, the friendship ties between those two are so much stronger and get so much stronger than a tie between a man and a woman. That's why I'm not talking about that today. I'm not talking about the romantic relationship. I'm talking about confidant. When we feel like we're lacking in that respect, and anyway, I'm getting ahead of myself. Excuse me. We don't feel complete. We don't feel secure. It affects the way we look at ourselves. We tend to focus on ourselves and say, "What am I doing wrong?" And when you don't feel like you have that one person, what am I doing wrong? What can I change about myself? And of course, you can think of examples, I'm sure, in your own lives of people who have suffered this, whether it be a lack of friends or not growing up in a strong household, or something traumatic happening when they were younger. People who grow up with great tragedies like that, they have a hard time finding out who they are, and it's because it's that same feeling. It's that same feeling. What am I doing wrong? What can I change? Why aren't these people connecting with me like they are with other people? It can drain our energy. It can hinder our prayers. It can cause us to question God. And loneliness, like I've been saying, loneliness is not always an absence of people. We have, how many people do we have? We have a count here, 60 people. That's crazy. We have 60 people here, and that's not even all. That's not even the entire church group. 60 people, and I can call each one of you my brother and my sister. But we can still feel alone. Excuse me, in a group like this. We've been made with an innate desire for companions who can share our joys and bear our hurts with us. And like I've been saying the whole time, one person can make a difference in a life. This is what we should be able to find here in a church. In 1 Corinthians, let's turn there. It's going to get better. This is a bit of a downer, isn't it? It's going to get better. First Corinthians chapter 12. Blake Edwards, you back there? Yeah. Could you read verse 22 to 26, please? Thanks, man.
On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our mortal on the parts did not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part of the body, that there may be no division of the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together.
We all know that people can slip through the cracks here. It's not always they just quit coming to church. They can be drifting around, talking to one another, you know, smiling, cracking up, but they're missing the companionship part of it, if that makes any sense. And we have a responsibility to each one of those people to find them and give them the security that is described in 1 Corinthians about the body and the church. And we're always looking for a kindred spirit, someone who shares our likes and dislikes and our hobbies. And we are all, listen, we are all kindred spirits in this room. We are kindred spirits in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we have a duty to each and every one of us to be there for one another and to support each other. And what a blessing that is, isn't it? Yes, it's a responsibility, but it is a blessing also. When you fall down, when you're feeling this kind of loneliness, there are 60 people in this room that would give of their time each and every day. And I know it. I know it too. I know each and every one. None of you would say any different. Each and every one of you would give your lives for another in here. And you should be like that, because we're all kindred spirits in Christ Jesus. And what a blessing it is, and what wisdom God has in ordaining this local congregation, right? Amen. There are those that find it easy to make friends. those who, you know, social butterflies, everything. And there are some, much like myself, who are, you know, don't have problems with people. I can interact with people just fine, but I hold things back. I hold myself back, and I know, and a lot of people are like that. It's classic introversion syndrome. And some people can handle that. Some people can. Let's see. What am I trying to say? I'll just use myself for example. I don't lose anything I'm hesitant in pouring myself out to people, and y'all are probably a lot like that too. A lot of you are at least, because you know what's the half and half, introvert, extrovert, right? I'm hesitant, and I don't always need that kind of companionship all the time. But there are some in here who do. There are some people around us sitting next to us who are missing that, who need a friend who they can hang out with every day, a friend that can visit without announcing themselves first. Friend who can go over to the fridge and grab something without asking. Some of us need somebody that close. And for those of you that don't, for those of you who are secure and have friends, it's your responsibility. These people who are struggling, it's y'all's responsibility as members of the local congregation. It's y'all's responsibility to take care of these people. As we see in 1 Corinthians 12, what we just read, the stronger members are meant to give honor to the weaker members, to build them up, to hold them up. That's why we're here. That's why we're a congregation. And it's so great. It's great to sit here in front of you guys. It's great to be here and eat with you guys and cut up with you guys. Because this is how it was meant to be, right? Let me see. I got ahead of myself. To those who are suffering, to those who I've been referring to a lot of times, don't give in. Don't give in. It's not that easy, I know. But I have to say, don't give in. Don't give in at all. Learn from David. And this is where we're going back to Psalm 142. Learn from David and what he did. Looking at Psalm 142, we read verses 1 through 4. This is a prayer, a single prayer, I'm assuming. The verse 1 through 4, he goes through and expresses his problems and ends, "When no one cares for my soul," turns right around. Same prayer. Verse 5, "I cried out to thee, O Lord. I said, Thou art my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Give heed to my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are too strong for me. Bring my soul out of prison, so that I might give thanks to thy name. The righteous will surround me, for thou wilt deal bountifully with me." Turns right around, puts his faith in God, and gets that companionship from the Lord himself. Excuse me. Christ knows everything there is to know about loneliness, and that's another blessing. That's why we can go to God with this problem, because He knows, man. He knows. He went through the worst week of any man on the planet, I'm sure. He spent his last 24 hours sweating drops of blood. Matthew 26. Let's look at Matthew 26. I want you to look at what Christ did. It's just another example of the gift that we have in being able to go to our Father. Chapter 26, starting in verse 38. "Then he said to them, My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me. And he went a little beyond them and fell on his face and prayed, saying, Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but thou wilt." What did he do before his crucifixion? He went alone, by himself. He didn't need a first day of the week invitation. He didn't need a Wednesday night Bible study. He went alone by himself and prayed and worshiped. And that's like that's the best advice I can give to you guys. It's the best advice anybody can give to you guys. Pray, sing, and something that's a little well, it's faded away a little bit as far as a practice. Find a passage that comforts you and memorize it. Memorize it. We don't do memorable verses anymore, do we? We're too old for that. That's something we did as kids, right? When you memorize a passage, that passage becomes your companion. In hard times, when you're driving on the road in traffic, when you're experiencing difficult times, those passages are your companion. And through that, God is your companion, as He is always. God is speaking to you through the Word. Cast your burden on the Lord because He cares. That's the best advice I can give. The scripture we read this morning, Matthew 11. Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30. Come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my load is light. God is really the only answer. The Lord is really the only answer to this problem that we have. This problem that we have as humans. This longing that we have as humans for a companion. Many Christians, when they feel like outsiders in the church, attempt to find companionship in groups that they ought not to. True security can only be found in God, because that's how we were made. We were meant. He has placed a fire within us to search for God. We were meant to search for Him. We were meant. This world is not our home. We are meant for another place. We are alone because this is only our home temporarily. We're away from home right now. And we're coming back. Coming back. Lord willing, we're coming back. Loneliness is a part of living. We can't escape from it. Why? We're not made for this world. We're made for God. Draw near to one another in the good and the bad times. It's the final word, really. Draw near to one another. You have a fantastic blessing. And those of you who are new here probably haven't appreciated it to its full capacity yet. But you have a tremendous blessing in each and every person here. Take advantage of it. Take advantage of it. And bear one another's burdens. Those of you who aren't hurting, bear one another's burdens. Go into the lives of broken people. People around here who are having hard times. That's something real quick as a side note. We get in our comfort zone, you know. Just like I do this all the time. I get in my comfort zone. I get with my friends. And it's comfortable and it's nice and it's easy. But let me tell you what happened. Jesus, when he was just starting out his ministry, looked at some of his disciples and said, "Follow me, right? Follow me." And he took them straight into the lives of broken people. He didn't take them into the lives of one another, say, "Oh, we're just going to have a nice time talking about how much fun we're having in the Lord." He took them into the lives of broken people, and that's a responsibility we have within our church and without. Bear one another's burdens, draw strength from them. As a final passage, Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 33 to 34. Starting verse 32. "But remember the former days when, after being enlightened, you endured a great conflict of sufferings, partly by being made a public spectacle through reproaches and tribulations, and partly by becoming sharers with those who were so treated. For you showed sympathy to the prisoners and accepted joyfully the seizure of your property, knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession and an abiding one." That's what I was saying. That's what I was saying. Heaven's our final possession, our final gift from the Lord. We're all in this together. We're all in this together. Bear one another's burdens, strengthen each other, build each other up, and love each other. And enjoy it. Don't take it for granted. Because this is one of the greatest blessings you ever have. That's all I've got. I appreciate you guys for listening. Do you have any comments, Larry?
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. You made a point that was critical. There was a time in my life back in the 70s where I think I'd gotten overweight. I was in bed. And I was preaching in the middle of nowhere. No one my age, hadn't had a date in a year. I was 26 years old and not married. And I decided to do something about it. It was discouraging. Started memorizing scripture. My first one was Hebrews 10:32-39. And started running. As I started to memorize the passage and go out and run. And then started finding a way to be around Christians and changing it. The thing is, if you can fight this, Lord will provide. And it was amazing the blessings that came from it. And so again, you know, I love the point you made about memorizing scripture and let them be your companion. Very powerful. That was my beginning point. Many changes came from that. One other verse, just to add another verse, is a lot of favorite. One of my very favorite verses is John 16:31-33. I remember reading this as a non-Christian and being amazed by it. But Jesus is about to go to the cross, and his disciples are clueless. He went to Gethsemane alone. He's going to go to the cross alone. He knows it. And he's telling them ahead of time, even though it's going over their head. But John 16:31, do you now believe? Behold, an hour is coming and has already come for you to be scattered, each to his own home, and to leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world. Those verses like that and others are beautiful ones to remember. Yeah, it may be tough, but not like what Jesus went through. He set that example. And our relationship with God can carry us through.
Anybody have any other comments?
Has always said, you know, he won't forsake you. So, not until you refuse his friendship and his love and everything will you be, should you feel truly alone. Because you will feel truly alone if you turn your back on the Lord. Because he gives you all his time, he gives you all his patience and love through the scriptures. And through prayer. And if you don't forsake the Lord and hold him close to your times of loneliness, then you'll find some way to make it through.
That's something that doesn't get talked about as much. That was a great point. We talked about our faith in God all the time. But there are littered throughout the New Testament passages that say God is faithful. God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tried beyond what you can bear. God is faithful. And just like what Caleb was saying, he is, even when we're not. That's the difference. That's the difference. Even when we're not faithful, he's there for us. He's waiting for us to come back. Good call. Any others?
You know, something I've noticed is that, you know, when you don't want that feeling, your first reaction sometimes is not to go to God. So when you do, you might go to people who consider it friends, and you just start being like this, so that you lose that sense of loneliness and you're kind of blocking out reacting. The reality is you haven't had a relationship with God. Had been built up as it used to be first. And so what you're doing, you're kind of just pushing that aside. And I'm not saying that the friends that you made are bad, but anytime you don't have that grounded in the Lord, it's just a distraction. And it's just kind of carrying further down the road away from the Lord. That happens. And so I guess I've seen it. I've been wanting to be a part of it. Sorry, Chris, I'm hitting you. You just because you want to block it all out. You don't like to feel loneliness. You don't like any of that. And you lean on people who you seem just to kind of forget about everything else. And, you know, you just want to have fun and be thoughtful. Okay. But where's the Lord in your life? You know, have you gotten that relationship with Him? Where needs to be?
Yeah, that's good. Because, I mean, that's a good point. Because, you know, if you don't achieve the will of God, then you can choose worldly things, you know, worldly friends, worldly hobbies, you know, anything to take you further and further away from the Lord.
Blake, that was an interesting point you had about creating your own reality almost when you're so desperate looking for that kind of thing. It's almost like humans are so desperate for companionship, and we're so wired for it. It's almost like hunger. When you're so hungry, you get hungry and hungry and hungry, you get more desperate, you start doing more things in order to get food, you know. And of course, that's not something you get to see around here most of the time, because we got food all over the place. There's extra pizza in there. But it's the same kind of thing. It's the same kind of thing. You get so frenzied that you create your own reality. And in that, you lose sight of the Lord. You do. Anybody else? Okay.
I want to say something on behalf of me and all. You know, I'm going to get a chance to say this to you again, at least until next semester, but we want you to do well. You know, we want you to make your grades in school. We want you to have a good time here. We want you to be involved in this. But we want you to be faithful. We want to help you any way that we can. And I understand it probably seems right now that we are very much inward focused. I mean, you've seen our two little ones, and so in some ways maybe we are inward focused, and our radar for understanding what's going on with you is not as good as it was before we had these two. But we want to help you. If there's something we can do for you, we may not see it from afar, but please come tell us, you know. We'd love for you to come spend time with us. You can even keep our kids. So I'm going to pull that plug. You know, just hit me. But we want to help you. Like I say, may not recognize what your needs are, but if you will tell us, I promise you, we really love to help you. It goes to everybody in this room. So thanks for being here tonight. Yeah.